This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Elsewhere, if we move to Singapore, apparently Singapore is an unfriendly place to invest. That's according to a report by Morningstar.
Yeah, it's seen as where a wide-ranging array of investment products are widely available and easily accessible, and that was what we perceived Singapore to be. But according to research firm Morningstar, again, yeah, they have received a below average in evaluation of the cost of mutual fund investors incurred in the sixth edition of Morningstar Biennial Global Investor Experience Report.
So for more of this, we turn to Jermaine Sher, Associate Director of Research Management with Morningstar. Hi, Jermaine. Do you see a broader global trend of lower fees and expenses, or at least a change in the fee structure?
We publish this report every 2 years, and since the last study in 2017, we've definitely seen fund fees continue to come down across global markets. This reflects a few key trends, including competition, regulatory intervention, which has led to some changes in industry practices. So in regards to competition, for example, in the U.S., asset managers have been cutting fees to gain more market share, specifically among passive funds, with industry leaders such as Fidelity launching zero-fee funds, putting pressure on other funds to do the same. The second equally important point is regulators stepping into the market. So if you consider all three of our top-rated earners in the study, which are Australia, the Netherlands, and the U.S., one thing that they have in common is that commissions are banned. So following the ban, advisors are no longer permitted to receive any incentives from fund companies and could be only paid by investors directly for their services. We think this is a positive development as it helps avoid conflict of interest.
Singapore and Hong Kong scored below average. Given that these two financial hubs are in Asia, what explains their ranking here?
So as mentioned earlier, we at Morningstar believe it is in the investors' best interest to unbundle or separate commissions or advisory fees from the cost of investment management. We believe this helps avoid the inherent conflict of interest that occurs when advisors are incentivized or compensated for promoting specific products or even just encouraged to generate sales volume in general. Now, tying back to your question, in Singapore and Hong Kong, the most common fund distribution channel is banks. So what that leads to is that investors are often subject to paying front loads, and they're also subject to paying ongoing commissions on a yearly basis. In addition to the asset-weighted median fee level in our study, we also look at other market practices, such as are funds easily available to investors that do not charge a commission. And given the bank's dominance in these markets, unfortunately, it's very limited to investors based in Hong Kong and Singapore right now. The other thing that Hong Kong and Singapore have in common is that they're both part of the UCITS regime, which is the European fund passport that I mentioned. And often the UCITS funds tend to be a bit more expensive, and we believe it's because these funds are often subject to higher regulatory scrutiny, right? So you have to satisfy both the UCITS requirements and also the local market requirements. So these have to be built specifically to be distributed in different markets. I think the other thing specific to Asian markets in general is that funds are often sold and not bought. So there's often, you know, maybe a relationship manager or salesperson at the bank telling you what funds to buy rather than investors actively going out and seeking to build a diversified portfolio.
And what kind of best practices in this area should a country like Malaysia consider adopting?
So even though Malaysia is not in our latest study, we have noticed a few general trends for the Asian markets when it comes to fund distribution. Outside of Hong Kong, Singapore, Taiwan, and Thailand, these markets also have banks dominating their fund sales channels. So as you can understand, it would have the same problems that we cited before, where front loads are very common and investors have very limited access to funds without built-in commissions. We have seen some measures implemented by the local regulators to improve fee transparency or even just cut fees. So, for example, in Singapore, with the CPF scheme, which is their local compulsory saving plan, both the sale charges and the wrap fees have been cut. Over the longer term, we'd like to see more diversified channels for fund sales, such as independent financial advisors, which is very popular in the U.S. So here, these advisors are motivated by helping investors deliver on their financial goals rather than by commission through churning fund sales. I think investor education is also an important part of the process, where investors need to better understand the impact of fees that it could have on future returns, as well as be a little bit more educated about what other fund sales channels are available to them.
Jermaine Cher of Morningstar talking to us about how fees and costs can have a big impact on funds' performance and accessibility. And this is very interesting because yesterday I was at the EPF's iInvest launch. And EPF is, I believe, a catalyst in the fund industry because it has declared that your EPF savings investing into unit trusts will no longer attract a 3% fee, but now limited between 0 to 0.5. So near zero fees for going into unit trusts. Now, I was moderating a panel comprising of the who's who of the fund management industry coming from Public Mutual, Principal Asset Management, Manulife, Eastspring, as well as Amana Saham National. And that was a very powerful and influential circle managing almost half a trillion ringgit in Malaysia, right? They were of the view that, at least from the viewpoint of Public Mutual, which has the most agents, 30,000 agents in Malaysia, the CEO, Ms. Yeo Kim Hong, still believes that the expensive offline channels are still relevant. But I do think that the writing is on the wall for lower fees. I think people are now demanding lower fees because the fees eat into your long-term returns.
Well, for some people, maybe they feel they still want agency. They still want agent to help them and guide them in terms of their financial planning. They can understand their own risk and reward better. And maybe it's not so easy for these people also to go online. So I think that the market is, there's space for every type of kind of a way to sell a unit trust, or for individuals to buy unit trust more like it. But for sure, I think the structure and the fees all have to come down because Malaysia still is on the high side.
Right. So I guess this is more, I mean, this is catering for those who are more, you know, who have the ability to get those information on their hands. So it's more suitable. They don't need any more of those, I guess, agents. They don't need to be handheld when it comes to making decisions on investing.
It's always down to returns, right? I think people are very price sensitive. They may not realize it at this point in time, but it has to be highlighted. If your annual fees are 1.5% to 2% and long-term market returns are, say, 8%, the fund manager has to do so much more to cover that cost, right? What if that cost is reduced drastically, or what if it's gone? That's the main question. That's what's happening in the world today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.